Recording has started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. And welcome to the NCUC Bylaws Meeting on Friday, the 26th of May, 2017. On the call today, we have Varzi Bhatti, Rafiq Damick, and Tatiana Tropina. I have no listed apologies for today's meeting. From staff, we have myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to Varzi Bhatti. Please begin.
Thank you, Terry. Hi, everyone, and thank you for attending this, hopefully the last session on responding to staff comments on NCUC bylaws. Are going to, as you know, I have sent you the issues that we are going to discuss today on the executive committee mailing list. We are going to have Rafiq, Tatiana, and also Milton is going to join us in 5 minutes, and we are going to go through those issues and finalize them, and hopefully I will be able to make a document on Sunday and send the bylaws and the changes that we have done and our answers to the comments of the ICANN staff to Rob on Sunday, and they will discuss the bylaws with the legal team as I can, and after that it will be sent to board. It will go through a public comment. Then we decide whether we want to take the public comments into consideration and make additional changes. And also we have to decide on substantively if the bylaws have changed substantively to the level that it needs to go through another election. So it might be a long process. But let's start with, I don't know if you all have the Google Doc. I have it here, and I'm just going to share it on the chat. So one of the first things that I want to tell you is that the things that we have resolved, and if you have any objection to that, just let me know. One of the questions that ICANN staff asked was, can an additional representative serve as proxy pending replacement of the official representative of the organizational member? I have, Rafiq answered this question that they won't be proxy, but we just inform the organization. Organization can decide whether the additional representative can become a voting member or not. So we give them that, so we inform the organization, and organization can decide. So I don't think this is, I think this is a good straight answer to the question. We don't have to make any changes. And I don't see anything, any hands up. Okay, so we can go to the second issue. Tatiana pointed out the last meeting that we need to be consistent in what we call our procedural rules, because sometimes in the bylaws we call them procedural rules and sometimes we call it operating rules. These are the rules that we are going to come up with the executive committee member in order to clarify processes by which we enforce the bylaws of NCUC. To that effect, I have changed procedural rules in the bylaws to operating rules. And our task force also, to that effect, should be operating rules task force. I don't think we need to have further discussion on that. If you have any objection, let me know. But in the bylaws, we have now changed procedural rules to operating rules. Now, okay. So at the moment, I'm sorry, I just received a an email. Okay. Terry, I'm going to send you Milton's phone number. You can contact him because it's, okay. So it seems like he's in the room. Oh, yeah, I sent you the wrong phone number. Well, he sent you the wrong phone number. I'm sorry about that. Terry, I'm gonna send you the phone number again.
Sure. And Milton has joined the Adobe Connect room. So, Milton, you're probably hearing us, and we'll have the operator dial out to you in a moment on the telephone.
Okay. So, okay, let's go to the next thing. Ken asked that, ICANN staff commented that there are 8 executive committee members. Does 4 constitute a minimum quorum for all EC votes or only for these special appointments that were indicated in one of the in one of the sections of the bylaw? I responded that only for some of the decisions of the EC a quorum is needed, and we can have a quorum of 4 4. So I did not make any changes or any clarification on that. Milton, they are in the process of dialing out to you. So number 4, another resolved issue is that the ICANN staff said that every other stakeholder group or the commercials, the non-commercial stakeholder group calls their bylaws charter, and we might just change just to be consistent with other groups and call it to charter. Now, for me, who has been repeating bylaws for the past year and a half, it's a bit difficult for that transition, but I'm willing to accept this change. I don't think it's a big... what are we talking about in the chat?
Sorry, Farzaneh, it's just because I promised to change one of the titles of the sections, and I wanted to verify it briefly with Milton, but I'm listening to you, so please don't stop the call because of that. Thank you.
Sure. So I'm just talking about changing the name bylaws to charter. I know we've been calling it bylaws for the past, like, forever. Should we do this or not? Okay. Well, because Ken says that everyone, like other groups, call it charter, or non-commercial stakeholder group calls its document charter. So, yeah, I changed all the bylaws mentioned in the document charter, but someone has to go through it to ensure ensure consistency. Right. Let's go to number 5, section 2, paragraph C and D. Are now of the same paragraph structure. this was something that was not resolved at some point, so I just went and made the paragraph of the same structure. So let's look at this. I'm going to copy paste where we were. Section 2, paragraph C and D. Okay. Milton, can you talk? You are talking about our previous discussion.
Yeah.
Can you take the mic?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I don't... I don't think you can hear me. Is that still a problem?
No, I can hear you.
Okay, all right.
We can hear you.
So, are you waiting for me to say something?
Yes, impatient.
What are you asking me to say? What do you want me to say?
I'm asking, so you are saying something about the bylaws versus charter and that it is different.
Oh, that. Well,
so maybe you can.
My points are in the chat, and I agree with Tatiana that we have been working on bylaws, not a charter. This is a kind of pointless change that the staff person responsible. It's just like, what is the point of this? Yeah, charter is like.
Well,
okay.
Maybe
yeah,
can,
charter is like.
Okay, so I have an idea. How about you write like two sentences on why we don't accept it to change bylaws to charter, and then I can just send that to staff. Thank you.
Okay. I'll write my two sentences in the chat.
Write my two sentences in the chat.
All right.
And I can hear myself echo.
Well, you can put yourself on mute.
Well, that's kind of hard to do when you want me to talk.
Well, I don't want you to talk anymore. Now we go. We've solved that now. We can go to another and discuss another issue. So I was talking about section 2, paragraph C and D. If you look at these two paragraphs, I have muted myself, Tatiana, when MM talks, but still, I will do that again. So anyway, section 2, paragraph C and D. Have a look. I just got rid of so it was in the organization and structure on C and D. ICANN staff suggested that that we need to have like similar paragraph structure in C and D. So if we are talking about the executive committee composition, we should also talk about policy committee composition. If we are talking about executive committee duties, we should talk about policy committee duties as well. So we should just remove it altogether and mention the section that we are specifying this. What I have done here is in B and D is that I have actually got rid of all the mentions of responsibilities and duties and how it's the composition, and I have mentioned the section. I think this is an okay. So have a look. We are talking about section 2, B and D.
Parsh, can I speak?
Yes.
This is Tatiana. Thanks. So I'm looking at the section D, and what I see, and CUC should consist of a policy committee, full stop. What are these?
So the policy, and then it says, the policy committee selection process and duties are set out in section V below.
Parsha, could you please read again the first sentence? NCUC should consist of a policy committee.
Yes, so the thing is that we have to change the wording so that it is like correct. But what we say is that NCUC, what are the organization and staff NCUC? One part of it is policy committee. So, Milton, do you have so for C and D, do you have a suggestion and the wording? So the first C is NCUC should have an executive committee. Is that good?
No, I don't think so. You've already said in A that we consist of three parts, membership, executive committee, and policy committee. So in C and D, you are describing or defining what they are. You're not saying you should have one. You've already said you have one.
Oh, I suggested we just get rid of us. We should consist of a policy committee and an executive committee, and then we also say that their duties and composition is indicated in such and such section.
You mean all of it can be put in paragraph B? Just
yes.
Fold it into paragraph B? Yeah, I think the only thing you're missing, to make sure that you say that the executive committee is directed by the chair. And you should say the policy committee's composition, selection. Well, in D, you're describing the composition of the policy committee. If you don't do that elsewhere, you still need to retain who is on the policy committee. Although hopefully, given my opinion of the policy committee, we could abolish it and not have a composition. That would be great. That's only semi-serious, though.
There is a composition.
That's only semi-serious, though.
There is a composition of policy committee in the other section, which is mentioned. Rafiq, your hand.
Okay. Thanks, President. Before talking about removing or not, I think what we have here in the first A, we are describing that we have three parts, and then in each item we are describing what it should consist. So either we merge B, C, and D, or just keep them separate and maybe... I mean, yeah, that's why, either merging or not. So I don't think we can merge C and D and leave B. It looks kind of strange here, because I think what we are describing is we have this kind of three-party. So it should kind of some symmetry or something like that, yeah.
The problem here is that I'm not even saying let's merge. I'm saying let's get rid of C and D and mention that, and we have mentioned that the NCUC has three parts: membership, the executive committee, and the policy committee. In A, the membership shall consist. So then. Okay, so now we are also explaining what membership is. So we need to explain what NCUC executive committee is and what NCUC policy committee is, because I have looked at the other sections in the bylaw and it says, and it does in the other section it does mention the similar things that we are mentioning in this paragraph. Even for the membership, we are repeating us in these paragraphs. So either that we just make like two, three sentences briefly of all these like NCUC executive committee and membership and policy committee, or I just suggest, well, we can't get rid of this section really, or we just have one paragraph on what we consist of and to say that these are like more elaborated in section this and this and that. Okay. Well, I wait for you for your comments. You can also take the mic. It's not mine.
Hello. I seem to have been disconnected from Adobe Connect. I'm not sure. Oh, wait. There it is. No. Look, you guys, isn't it simplest just to leave those C, B, C, and D as they were? Maybe it's a little bit redundant, but to have a discussion about this for 30 minutes is just not worth it. You know, you.
Okay, I agree. Let's do that. Everyone else agree?
Oh, here it is. Okay, so, yes.
Now we only need to just explain that we did not accept this change due to we did not. Okay, I'm going to comment on that later myself. Okay, so let's go to the next. Point. So we need to discuss Section 3D. Section 3D and Section 3I. It's about the financial disclosure. Okay. So Section 3D, you can see that the ICANN staff says that we don't need to have the financial disclosure statement for the official representative in this paragraph, but we should move it to the next paragraph, which is about to another paragraph, which is about financial disclosure. I think that this is like just really not doesn't really matter much. We can state it here. We have stated it in the financial disclosure statement as well. And I don't think it's a big change. because if you look at financial disclosure statements, we say that a disclosure statement should be provided by an individual or an organization. So I think we can just either not accept this change and we say we wanted to stay there, or we can just accept this change, and because we have stated it in the paragraph anyway, we just don't do anything. We just accept the change, the removal. What's 2.2, section 2.2 NCSG charter? What?
Currently, organization structure is number two, right? Is that right?
Just structure.
Yes.
So where is 2.2?
No, it's
2.2.
We are not talking about 2.2. We are talking about 3, section 3D here.
Okay, I'm back in section 2. I'm just looking at an inconsistency. When you refer in section 2B, when you refer to section 2.2 of the NCSG charter, what are you referring to? Are you referring to section 3? I don't know what you're referring to there. That's a major problem.
Section, that's a major problem.
We are referring to the NCSG charter, 2.2, section 2.2 of the NCSG charter. We are, because in that section, it is elaborated how they can choose NCUC as their constituency when they apply for membership at the NCSG. But this is a good point, because as we also, like Rafiq pointed this out as well, if we keep mentioning the sections of NCSG charter, if NCSG goes through a review, then we are going to have inconsistent numbering.
Okay, I apologize. I was confused about NCUC and NCSG, so... That makes sense now.
Okay, but so, well, I think your comment kind of shed light on this problem that we have if we mention the section, but I do think that it's not a big problem. So let's just move on. So let's go to section 3D, and we were discussed to remove, accept to remove this sentence that you can see a disclosure statement as to sources of its funding should be provided by member organization in accordance with paragraph 3. We have in paragraph 3, we have it that the organizations and individuals have to provide a disclosure statement, financial disclosure statement. I don't think there is any need for repeating it here. We can just remove it. Tatiana agreed to removal. Let's just do that. Yes. I just removed it. Yay. Okay. So let's go to the next point, which is important and we need to discuss, is that Section 3I, our financial disclosure statement. This brought a couple of comments. First of all, the ICANN staff said that it's confusing and it's not elaborated. One of our members expressed concerns that this financial disclosure, statement disclosure might not, some people, because of their profession, they might not be able to disclose the name of their clients. And this is what they say: we don't have to address it now. They can bring up their concerns if they really have concerns during the public comment. But this is something that we need to discuss. And if you think that we can make changes to this paragraph to make it, I'm talking about 3I, to make it better, then let me know. Tatiana, please go ahead.
Hi, Tatiana speaking. Well, I think it's easily solvable. We have to add that unless this is a subject of non-disclosure privilege. I mean, normally if it's lawyer-client privilege or, I don't know, medical, or I don't know if we have priests in the NCUC constituency. So unless it's a subject of non-disclosure privilege. I don't know if others will agree, but I think that this is solvable in this way, and then we provide the exemption.
I think that's a good idea. Just that I hope that not everyone argues that, oh, but this is subjective. But I don't think they can. But could you come up with the wording so that we can put it in there?
Let me check. I'll have a look right now.
And everyone else agrees on this. I think what Tatiana is suggesting is okay. So let's look at what Ken is saying on this. I have responded to some of his comments, and he has, and we have solved issues. But there is one issue which I noticed, that we are not clear on the bylaws. Do they have to provide the financial disclosure statement when they are also joining NCUC, upon joining, or during the if it happens during their membership, they should submit a statement, because our bylaws now really have it that they should provide disclosure statements when they receive grants and funding from other parts of the community or from ICANN. I think. Personally, that they should, after we accept, yes, like a SOI, right? So disclosure statement when there is a change. Okay, so but when they are like joining NCUC, they also have to, oh, so in NCUC form anyway, in NCSG, do we require them to submit an SOI in the beginning? That's it. Okay, so we don't. I think this is not. I think we can actually address this in our operating rules. That upon their membership, they should provide, upon their application for NCUC, they should also provide a disclosure statement if there's a change in their status or they receive money from Are we okay with just indicating that in the operating rules?
This is Milton. Bear in mind that many public interest groups receive money from corporations. So CDT, for example, almost certainly gets money from big internet companies, for various projects. Are we able to enforce this? Are we able to maintain it? Are we creating too many barriers for entry here? I just am curious as to how this plays out consistently rather than just being something that happens now to all of the newcomers.
So how about, Rafi, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Fajan. Maybe just to put in the context, we are not asking disclosure about all funding, but anything that is related to ICANN, any activity related to ICANN. So in that case, we would like to have that disclosure. But if organization A get the funding for a project that has nothing to do with, policy and ICANN, we don't need to know about it. I think we added that, as you may know about what we had last year, is we want to get this kind of change of statement of interest for someone who is involving with us and. He's getting, research funding to do a project about ICANN policy, something like that. But it's not about any funding they get. So that's my understanding from what we have in that part. So.
Yes, Rafiq. As the financial disclosure paragraph actually reads, is that this disclosure should be provided by an individual or an organization who is receiving an individual or group research grant funding consulting fee from ICANN, another supporting organization or GNSO stakeholder group, governments, or commercial entities involved in ICANN-related activities. So this is important. This should be done in a formal manner prescribed by the executive committee. So, as you said, it has been limited, I think Tatiana's hand was up. So it has been limited. What we could do is we just leave. There were some issues with this paragraph anyway. Some people raised concerns. And they said that it was not very well drafted, and it might create confusion. There is one option is to just keep it as is, and then in our operating rule, if we see we need to elaborate on this, then we will. Or we can just get rid of it altogether. Which is, I would say, indeed a substantive change, and we have to tell our members. And we have these two options. And please comment on the options: get rid of it altogether, reward it better, reward it better in our operating rules for executive committee. That will come up. So go ahead and tell me which is best.
I would favor kicking it back to the operating rules and allowing the executive committee, when they're vetting membership, to investigate or make inquiries and require a member to file an SOI when they think it's necessary. I would be concerned about putting elaborate rules and requirements into the bylaws.
Okay, great. So we are going to keep this, and also the addition of Tatiana. We are going to keep it as is with the addition of with the addition that Tatiana made to the paragraph, and we are going to address it in the operating role at NCUCEC. Thank you. And as Tatiana is saying, you need to check the language of this financial disclosure statement. She has made some additions, so please check that and see if you agree with it and if you have any suggestion for rewording it. If you don't, then I'm just going to go to the next paragraph. And we are going to accept all the other changes. I have also indicated some time within some time frame that they have to submit this financial statements, like 3 months. I give them 3 months. And then we are going to elaborate operating rules. But what Tatiana just mentioned, and she's going, as she has worded it in the paragraph, is that so the organization who is receiving an individual or group research grant funding, blah, 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 should disclose it unless the funding or the relationship with the donor are the subject of a non-disclosure privilege. This is what she has added. I think this is okay. And I see an anonymous leaguer on this. Is it a leaguer? Did you say leaguer? Right. Anyway, so if you have any comments on that, then we can come back to it. Let's go. Let's go to the next issue, which is 3J. 3J says that in the event that a complaint, so this is what Tatiana and I, Tatiana and I changed this and changed it a little bit and kind of reworded it, but ICANN staff has added to this paragraph, which I think is kind of substantive change, so I'd like to discuss this with you. So paragraph 3J says that in the event that a complaint is received or it appears or becomes known to the chair and the EC that there is an overt and deliberate effort by one or more organization or chapters to control or dominate the constituency, then by a majority of vote of the EC, the identified organization should be subject to a membership review. I don't know what this after circumstances is. I think so the wording that appears in pink are ICANN staff wording. It is. It is not me this time, which is good. It's ungrammatical. Okay. Yeah. I don't. So basically, we need to read this paragraph and see what sort of changes we agree and we add, and what sort of changes we won't. I'm going to take note of the action items that I have in mind now. And while I'm doing that, please take the mic, discuss this paragraph, and come up with wording or say if you accept these changes. Thank you. Yeah, that is. I don't know what he's doing, what he's done. So, of the circumstances. So I'm just going to get rid of circumstances, I think. Then what he has done is that instead of, he has kind of like itemized what will happen to after the membership review. So he has itemized remedies may include cessation of dominating controlling behaviors, suspension of membership, or limiting in a non-discriminatory manner the membership eligibility of chapters and subunits. That's what I have added. Or individual affiliated with the affected organization. Milton, yeah, go ahead.
Yes, so, yeah, okay, so basically what Ken has done here is try to substantially soften and change the nature, the substance of the paragraph. Not necessarily in a bad way, but it's certainly a substantive change that he basically made up. excuse me. I'm eating a very good biscotti, by the way, so you called on me to talk at a bad time. So we before had said, you know, if they're trying to take over the constituency, we're going to suspend them and review their membership. And he has now said, we're going to review their membership and consider one of three remedies. One of them is telling them to stop the dominating behaviors. Another is suspension of membership. And the third is limiting membership eligibility of various chapters and subunits, blah, blah. I think, you know, those are, it's certainly a more flexible wording, and I don't necessarily oppose it. Again, I think this is a very rare corner case kind of a situation that the cure could be worse than the disease in certain times. If we decide to have a faction fight and one person accuses somebody else of trying to take over and then we go through a big membership review, you know, it could be a big waste of time and a big conflictual situation. So I would be careful with how to do this. Maybe the modified language, because it is vaguer and has more options, maybe it is better. I don't know.
Okay, so you're saying that we actually accept these changes to the paragraph. They make the bylaws better, and so the one way is to accept the changes if everyone else agrees. But you have to look at the overall grammar and structure of the paragraph because I had to make some changes and it might not read well. So, do we all agree to accept the changes in the paragraph? There is a hand, Milton, your hand is still up. Would you like to speak? Okay, seems not. All right. While you're looking at that paragraph, we can go to the next. I'm just going to accept whatever change is in that paragraph and send it like that to ICANN staff. Let's go to the next point. The next point is IV section 4E4, which I'm going to put here. So section, this section, EE4, this section was about the subunits and the chapter change, which talks about no two EC members may be the employees of the same organization or be representative to the NCUC of different national chapters or other sub-entities. We had this. Milton suggested another wording for it, which is no two EC members may be the employees of the same organization or be representatives to the NCUC of different chapters or subunits of the same organization. This is what Milton suggested as a language, as a compromise for this section. So remember that we had the conversation last time about what is a sub-entity, what's a sub, like what are national chapters. So we get rid of national behind chapter, and we replace sub-entities with sub-units. Okay, so let's do that then. If we are agreeing with this, I'm just going to replace this with Milton's language and open a bottle of champagne. Right. Oh. Okay. So let me just do this, and then I'm going to write. Okay. Right. So done. Right. Let's go to the next issue, which is Tatiana's. Tatiana, you were talking about section section 4H4. Now, 4H4. That was supposed. So, ICANN staff got a little bit confused about the paragraph that we had. He thought that its purpose was something else, and we decided that it was because of the title of the paragraph that he was confused. So Tatiana kindly has come up with a suggestion for that title. The title before was execution of the challenge decision. Tatiana changed the title to suspension of the execution of the challenge decision. I want you now to look at section IV, which is 4. Sorry, I don't know if I know the Roman numbers. So IV, H4. And tell us if the title that Tatiana has just okay or if it needs a brush up. So Ken comment on it was that this last provision appears unnecessary given the extended time frame. Perhaps there should be some fast track process. So we want to tell Ken that this last paragraph is not really about immediate action. It's about suspension of the execution of the challenge decision. Okay, so it's a bit lengthy. All right. Well, yeah, I don't think that's a big problem. Right.
I can hear the echo. So I'm not really sure that the challenge decision is suspended. I think that the exit standard and there is a difference. Though I will be happy to change it to suspension of the challenge decision if you think that it preserves the meaning of the following paragraph. Thank you. Execution. The decision itself stays because it's, you know, when you say suspension of the challenge decision, it's not the decision is suspended, it's the execution is suspended, because the decision stays as it is. I mean, it's a decision, but the execution of it is suspended. So, for example, executive committee decided ABC, is still decided ABC, but it's not executing before the challenge is resolved. So that's my understanding, but maybe I sound too legally. Milton, so from your comment, shall I change? I mean, I don't mind change, and I like the shorter version, and this is why it took me some time to come up with the version, because I just, you know, I put the lengthy one. So then change to suspension of the challenge decision, if everyone agrees. Hello?
I agree.
What do you agree with?
I agree with the shorter version.
I just changed. So, I mean, doesn't matter anymore. We can...
I like this. We are doing well. Okay, let's go to the next point, which is numbers section 6, paragraph B4 here. This is about using the word quorum. It reads as an inactive member will not be included in the membership count required, as we now have, we say, to establish election results. So an inactive member will not be included in the membership count required to establish election results. I can stop suggest instead of saying to establish election results, to say to establish quorum. We don't. Rafiq, please take the mic.
I don't think we have the notion of quorum for election. We have the notion of threshold, I think, and that for the bylaws change. It's slightly different, but for election we don't have any quorum. So we can also, we are creating voter lists, and that's why we do the whole check-in process. So I don't see how we can add in the same here in the counting the inactive membership. It's kind of defeating the whole purpose of creating voter list and check-in process and so on. Oh, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. We are talking about section. I hope I did not give you the wrong section. We are talking about section. Where is? Yes, in voting. VI. B4. Yes, I gave you the right one. Okay, so we are, is it possible for you to go on the Google Doc and just explain what you explained and say why we don't suggest, we don't think this should be a quorum? Yes, in the check-in process, Milton is right.
We only have the notion of quorum, I think, or threshold. I see that he changed that. We have that only for the bylaws or the charter amendment. So, but for election, we don't have that. We may have a low turnout, but still we go with that result. And we have the checking process, and we added it based on the NTSG charter and our current practice. So we don't have that. So you want me to add some text or what? I'm not sure what you asked me exactly.
No, I just wanted your response to be on this document because I'm sending it to them, but it doesn't matter. I just added that we cannot change this with quorum because we don't have quorum for the general elections, right? Because Rafiq said we don't have quorum. Milton is asking why don't we want to use quorum, because Rafiq is just said we don't have quorum for our election. Okay, so I just wrote it. Let's move. Let's go to VIE, section 6E. It says, the votes of members shall be kept confidential. The EC may appoint a trusted constituency member who is not a candidate or an impartial number, ICANN or GNSO officer, to audit any election or proceeding in which member votes are solicited. Then Ken says, under what circumstances might an audit be conducted if any member raises a concern? For example, I have added one sentence there to clarify, and I said the circumstances under which an audit might be conducted will be elaborated in NCUC operating rules. So, sorry, Rafiq, we are on still on VIE, and we are checking my. So what do you think? We will put that in our operating rules. I just added a sentence. I just wanted you to, first of all, say that it's okay to add this sentence, and second of all, if the sense makes sense and it's grammatically okay. Okay, good. Thank you, Tatiana, for agreeing. Okay. So there is risk that in each election, a disgruntled candidate to ask for audits. Yeah. So let's discuss this in our operating rules at EC. If that is within the, well, I think the EC is that can decide on that in the operating rules, right? Yeah, but so yes. So to elaborate on the rule, who can challenge and who can. Who should be asked and stuff, who can ask for an audit, then let's just go in the operating rule and do that. Okay, so next, so I'm considering from the comments you are making in this chat that you agree with my sentence and I can move on. Tatiana agrees, Rafik agrees, I think Milton does too. Now we go to 7D. I have just put the section there. It's a paragraph on leaving office. So I can staff. So in this paragraph in 7D, we say that. When any member of the EC or any other NCUC committee has failed to carry out his or her duties, the chair, after consulting with members, may appoint a temporary replacement to finish the remaining term. Now, I have a couple of questions. ICANN staff wonders whether chair should consult with all members or just EC members regarding the appointment of a temporary replacement for an elected officer or a representative. He also made the point that there are time frames that determine whether an election is to be held or a temporary replacement name. Staff can provide such option for consideration by the NCUC. And, for example, if there are more than 6 months remaining, a new election is warranted. If you remember in our old bylaws, well, in our current bylaws, really, we have it that if it's 6 months, if someone resigns from the EC and the remaining term is like more than 6 months, an election should be held. And we actually did a couple of weeks ago, if you remember. So we followed that. But in our new one, in new bylaws, we are saying that the chair can consult with the members and appoint a temporary replacement. So there will be no election. I'm wondering whether we should put the old, the current bylaws for the 6 month term back in, or whether we should change the language to what I have suggested. Milton, your hand is up. Go ahead.
So I'm concerned here about this question of Ken, where he says, what and where are those operating rules? You say we're drafting them. I can see this being a major sticking point for the board approval if they say, oh, they've kicked a lot of stuff into these operating rules, but they don't have them yet. I just wonder when you think these rules will be finished.
Well, we are working on them, and the board is going to put this on public comment. The board is going to receive it and put it on public for public comments. So it's going to take them another couple of months. So we have time to come up with these operating rules, but that's a valid point. But to be honest, we don't have the bandwidth to come up with the operating rules now, and I don't know what should happen. I mean, what our other option is. Oh, it seems like you didn't hear me. Did you hear all I said? Milton, your hand is...
Yes, I heard everything you said.
Yes,
I'm going on and off mute, so...
Everything you said.
It's Tatiana. I think you make a valid point. Let's just proceed as it is. I mean, we cannot just, you know, fix the operating rules right now. We don't have capacity for this anyway. And we can make it a target, you know, just to finish them in a couple of months. And the board will not be really that quick anyway. So I believe that if we put it as a target, we will be able to finish them before they can say, hey, there are no operating rules.
I would suggest that you put in a long explanation as to why some things need to be in operating procedures and not in the bylaws, so that it doesn't sound like we're just kicking a can down the road, that we have a reason for deferring certain things to operating rules and making them more discretionary.
Okay, so in my submission to when I'm submitting this to the to ICANN staff and then essentially to the board, we will say why some of the things are referred to the operating rules. And yeah. So Rafiq, your hand is up.
Okay, thanks. I guess we can just basically say that the bylaws, it say the what are maybe the cases and so on, but the how, it's just we need to elaborate that in operating rules, and that's kind of just to clarify that. I think, I mean, the bylaw just to describe when we may have to act, but how to act, we can leave that to in details and when we elaborate the procedure. So such explanation maybe can be helpful and to explain why we are acting in such way.
Okay. Well, I'm going to draft that, but then I have to send it to you and the EC so for you to look at it. So please look at it until Monday. So that I send it to Rob. Okay, let's move on. I actually was making another point. It was about the leaving office paragraph. As I said, we have gotten rid of the phrase that says that if the term remains more than 6 months and the EC member resigns, and we need to do an election. Instead, we have said in the new bylaws that the NCUC chair should consult with members and appoint a temporary replacement. So it says that we don't have a election. Now, Ken says two things. One is that whether we should have this election if it's before the 6 months, if it's earlier than 6 months for us, like if the resignation is earlier, or whether we should have an election, or whether we should have a appointment, and if the NCC chair should consult with the members, should the NCC chair consult with the, all the members, or should the NCC chair consult with the EC members to appoint the replacement?
Pardon me, personally speaking, I think that ultimately it's a choice between voting and consulting with EC. I'd rather go for the consulting with EC because the consulting of the membership, with the whole membership, doesn't make sense if there is no voting. You know what I mean? Of course, like when people are nominated, there could be, you know, kind of expression of support on the membership list. But unless it's voting, the consultation with the whole membership doesn't really make sense. So I would go for EC because they are elected representatives. Unless, yeah, informing membership, that's right. Informing membership, as Rafiq wrote in the chat. But I also think that if we either go for voting or for EC decision, The consultation with the membership doesn't really make sense, you know, and my choice here would be EC decision.
Okay, and you don't think that we need to add back the language that says that if it's before 6 months?
I think we should add this language, honestly. But if we don't add it, then it should be EC decision. If we add it, I'm in favor for adding the old language about 6 months.
Okay. Rafiq, go ahead. Okay, Rafiq put his hand down. So what should we do? We add back the language for having election if there is a resignation before 6 months. I don't hear anything. Are you paying attention to me? Well, you should, because otherwise you're going to be here until 12. You don't think we should accept Kent's changes. What do you think about the 6 months? As Tatiana said that she's in favor of adding back the 6 month election. We either have, okay, so we add it back. Okay. Right. Now, for that, I have to talk to you about this paragraph again, because if you see, I have made an addition to it. So I have made an addition because this is not only about the executive committee members resigning. This is about all the officers or appointed committee members. right? In paragraph D, it was said that before, it was said that when any member of the EC or any other NCUC committee has failed to carry out his or her duties. Ken here says that, what do you mean by committees? What are other NCUC committees? I have changed the language. I have removed committee, and I said in case of removal or resignation of a representative or an officer. So instead of having committee, we can have representative or an officer, or maybe an appointed representative. But I also see that we have appointed committee members in Section A as well. So either we have to get rid of committee and just say appointed representatives of the NCUC, or just keep it as is, keep the language. We have a set committee, and by committee we mean policy committee and executive committee. So we keep it as committee, right? We don't make any change. We just keep it as committee. I just rejected my own change, which is really, it's really hurting me when I do this. But yeah. Anyway, I just, so I just removed that, and then Ken, in the same paragraph, he says that the section we have, Tatiana, we had the elected representatives. We had that language, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Tatiana, Rafik has to love soon. Of course, one of the things that I did not get in Ken's comments is that in the same paragraph, I'm talking about VIID, that the section C above does not deal with participation. However, this reference should be updated when a new section is created as recommended above. So what he recommended, and we disagreed with his recommendation, was that there needs to be like whole new sections on the principles of NCUC and removal and all that. But we cannot just change the whole structure of the bylaws and add something to it. Now, what he is saying is that, we don't accept this change. But then if you look at paragraph D, it says that if the committee has failed to meet participation criteria as is specified in section C above, but the section C above it does not talk about participation criteria. But we do talk about stuff, participation criteria in other sections. So maybe we just change this. What do we do with this section C? Should we just get rid of this section C? Or should we find the participation criteria and name that section?
As specified in the bylaws.
Okay. Okay, I'll do that. There are two more things to do.
Do you need me for those? Because I really have to go. I have to drive. Hello?
Martin, this is Terry.
Marty,
I still can't hear you.
Okay, sorry. I don't know. I don't know what happened. We can discuss the remaining on the mailing list of the executive committee. But you are raising this point that someone says that removal procedure should be in the bylaws. That will cause trouble. What causes trouble? Are you suggesting that we have to write the removal procedure in the bylaws?
Well, first of all, removal procedures are pretty important. And they were in the bylaws before, and what I mean by trouble is Ken Bauer could, when he sends this to the board, could say, I don't think you should approve this because they have all these important things that are just in the operating procedures and we don't know what they are yet. Or you could get lots of bad public comments. I don't understand why you're removing the removal procedures from the bylaws.
We are not removing the removal procedures.
They were in the meeting.
No, they're here. It's the participation criteria. I will look for that, and I will point this section to the section that we have the participation criteria and missing like three meetings and stuff like that. If you by removal procedure you mean that, because removal procedure by that can we actually say what's going to happen, how we are going to decide on removing, and how we are going to decide and what would be the procedure. That's what he's saying. Okay, let's just wrap up this meeting, and I will put this on the mailing list again, and then we just discuss it on the mailing list. Just discuss it tonight and tomorrow. I know we don't have better things than I can, and then And then let's just move forward. Even if they say, no, we are not going to pass this, you have to come up with your operating procedures, then we are going to come up with the operating procedures. And still, we are going to be moving forward with this. So thank you. Thank you for attending. And thank you very much, Terry, for the support. And we can now go and do other fun things other than NCUC. Thank you. Bye.